Our gospel lesson today is Mark 10, verses 17 to 27. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So most of us probably don't consider ourselves rich, right? And yet Americans are literally the wealthiest people on the planet. America controls 29% of the world's wealth with only 4.2% of the population. The World Bank says that half of the world's population lives on less than $5.50 a day, and 1 billion live on less than $1 a day. And yet the average American spends over $100 a day. By far, most of the people in the world do not own a car, but 24% of American families own three or more cars. We enjoy so much, while billions of people in the world lack sanitation, clean water, electricity, and education. We are the wealthiest nation on earth, but we are also in debt. Most Americans owe over $6,000 on credit cards, not to mention loans and cars and homes. Some people are living above their means, but most people are just trying to get by. We rely upon credit for gas and groceries and medical bills, and just making more money doesn't necessarily solve the problem. Higher income people can get higher credit limits, and it can become a vicious cycle. So we've got riches and we've got money troubles. And Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person like us to enter the kingdom of heaven. So what can we do? This man, someone just like us, walked away from following Jesus all because of his money. But what if this story is not about how much we have or don't have, but about what has us? Not what we hold, but how tightly we hold it. Where is our heart when we think about riches or money troubles? Is our heart full of pride for what we've earned, or are we grateful for the gifts of God? Are we feeling self-sufficient in our riches, or God-sufficient because it all comes from God's provision? What do we do with our riches and our money troubles? How do we trust God for what we need and learn to tell the difference between a need and a want? And how do we turn our hearts to God instead of ourselves? Because this young man who approached Jesus was very focused on himself. He was focused on what he could do to get eternal life. He was focused entirely on his wealth. His possessions possessed him. Reverend Dr. Wiley Stevens tells a story about focusing on ourselves and our stuff. A trusting abbot was impressed by the spiritual progress of a young monk. The abbot let his disciple live in his own lean-to down by the river. Each night, the monk would wash his one robe and put it out to dry. And one morning he discovered that the rats had torn his robe to shreds. So he begged for another from a nearby village, and the rats destroyed that one. So he got a cat. But then he had to beg for milk for the cat. So he got a cow. But of course that meant he needed hay. He got hay from the fields around his hut, but then he needed workers to help. Soon, he was the wealthiest man in the region. Several years later, the abbot comes back to find a mansion instead of a hut. He asks the monk, "What is the meaning of all this?" "Oh, holy abbot, there was no other way to keep my robes." The more we focus on us, the further we move away from God and God's work in the world. Soon, all of our self-serving actions prevent us from serving anyone else. The rich man who approached Jesus was all about himself. He walked away from this life that could have been transformed with meaning and joy with Jesus, even if it had suffering and hardship. Jesus had a lot to say about our money. Jesus knew that even if we don't love money, we get pulled in by its power. We have the temptation to see our wants as needs and to keep needing more, like the monk and his robes. Jesus knew the stress of having to make money stretch. He was an itinerant preacher. He and his disciples relied upon the generosity of others just to live. Jesus actually talked about money more than any other topic besides the kingdom of God. 1 out of 10 verses in the Gospels have something to do with money. So if we take Jesus' teaching seriously in other areas, don't we need to do the same with his words about money? I mean, deep down, we all know that money can be like a chain around our hearts, right? Whether we have plenty or we feel like we're drowning, money can just weigh us down. So what if Jesus tells us how to avoid that trap? What if he has the way to be free from that power of money? And it all boils down to one word, give. What if giving is our path to freedom, our way out of temptation, the way to find contentment and gratitude and joy? What if giving is God's answer to all money troubles? It makes sense. God is the greatest giver. We're called to follow God. Giving is as old as creation. God's people have always responded when God showered humanity with gifts. Abraham gave a tenth of what he had to honor God. Moses and the Israelites were asked by God to bring first fruits of their harvest to God in the tabernacle. In biblical times, a tithe or a tenth of whatever one had was expected to be set aside first thing and from the very best to support God's work and those in need. The prophets, they all told God's people to give. It was not optional to support the widow, the orphan, the stranger, the poor. And Jesus, too, spoke constantly about the need to give. He said, "Do not store up treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven." He said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He said, "From those whom much has been given, much will be required, and be on your guard against all kinds of greed." The man who wanted to inherit eternal life, Jesus didn't tell him to give away his riches because we're all supposed to give everything away. Jesus told him he lacked one thing. In other words, his wealth meant so much to him that the only way to find freedom was to give it away. What if Jesus' words are not just for the rich, not just if we have money to spare, and definitely not just once we have our finances in order? What if Jesus' words are for all of us now, today, regardless of what we have or don't have? Remember the story of a widow who put 2 small coins in the temple offering? Jesus said it meant more than all the rich people's offerings put together because she gave sacrificially, a true offering. What if that's key? To give that which means something, not what's left over. Because giving to God it's worship. It's an offering to God. Giving to God is not fundraising. And it's not an optional part of growing in our faith. It's actually foundational and transformational. I can't even tell you what a blessing it is for Ed and I to set aside at the first of the month tithes to God. It's blessed us more than we could ever imagine. We never even think about what that money could be used for otherwise because we know it's being used for good by God. Is Jesus saying we have to give all our money away? No. Is Jesus saying money is bad, so give it away? No. Jesus does not say money is evil, neither does the Bible. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, "For the love of money is the root of evil." Jesus condemns that. Our love of money, our trust in it, our reliance upon money instead of God. And he says that there's a pathway to freedom. We give. When we think about our own giving, the truth is our need to give is far greater than the church's need to receive. Let me say that again. Our need to give is far greater than the church's need to receive. We should be responsible to help the church do God's work in the world, and that takes money. The saints who went before us at this church, their generosity made it possible for us to even be here today. And we are called to follow in their footsteps. But Jesus didn't teach stewardship to balance budgets. It's to help us grow in faith. Even if the church has millions, we still need to give. We give because God is a giver and we follow God. We give because giving is about gratitude and dependence on God. Churchill once wisely said, "We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give." Jesus talks about that again and again and again. The question is, what kind of life do we want? Do we want the giving life? The life of freedom, of joy? Or do we want to let money have power over us? When Jesus says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, you know what he says right after that? He says, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." That's the thing. We get the strength and power to give from God. God is the one who opens our hearts and our wallets. God is the one who shows us the power and the joy of giving. And there is so much joy in giving. There is joy when we invest in the kingdom of God. I want you to think about when you have given to God. Think about how it feels to give, knowing you are making a difference. Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," in Acts 20. Have you ever found that to be true? I know I have. Giving changes lives. Giving to a church enables missions and ministries. When we give money, it makes a world of difference in our lives and the lives of other people. So today I want us to think about why we give to God. What does it mean to you? What does it bring you? How does it change you? Why do you give to God? I want you to write that answer on that little paper heart that we gave you. When the offering plate comes by, as you drop in your gifts, drop in that heart, because that's what we're really doing when we give to God. We're giving our hearts. We'll hang these on a board in the narthex to encourage one another in the next 2 weeks. Your reason for giving might be the very thing that inspires someone else to give generously. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel for us today. Our God is a giver, so we are too. The path to freedom, to joy, to peace, it's all found when we give. And for that, all God's people can say together, Amen.